Father, again, we thank you for this time to be back in the house of God, for the songs have been sung. Lord, we thank you of this, the spirit of this time, Christmas, every year comes. It's kind of refreshing. Many times we look with great anticipation, then all of a sudden it's gone. And a little depression comes after that. But we thank you for the expectation of knowing there's a day when Jesus was born. And we're glad to know it's real. It's not something that's fictitious. And Lord, we're thankful to know that one day we will see you face to face. But until that day comes, we want to be doing the most we can do for the glory of God within the confines of working that you give us to do in time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me, first of all, to John chapter 7. The Gospel of John chapter 7. And I hope you'll get something. I want to do some teaching tonight if I can, because I believe this will be a help to us as individuals to know the difference between those who study the Scriptures and those who read the Scriptures and those who say they study or read the Scriptures, because there's a difference. If you see what I'm going to show you tonight, I think about the lady. She worked volunteer and helped her community by working on the Meals on Wheels, and she would go to the elders and kind of feed them so many meals during the week. And one afternoon, she decided she'd take her little four-year-old daughter with her. And when they got to the house of this elder person, they went in with the meals and so forth, and they had to go back to the bedroom to feed her at that time. And as she was feeding this elder person, she noticed her daughter was looking over on the table. It's a false teeth. It was in a glass. And she had never seen false teeth before. She just stared and stared the whole time. She stared. She didn't say a thing. She just stared at them, puzzled. And she didn't interrupt them well enough. When they got through and got back in the car and started back home or to the next place, at that particular time, she said, Mommy, said, what was that in that glass back there that Mrs. So-and-so? And she said, well, honey, that was her teeth. She said, her teeth? Yeah, she didn't say nothing else. But she had a puzzled look on her face. And her mother said she rode a little ways down the road, and she finally said, you know, Mother, boy, the tooth fairy will never believe what I saw today. Coming from the mind of a child, thank God Almighty. But, you know, we're children. And this book is coming from the mind of God. And God gives us some insight. I hope tonight you're going to be blessed because you came. And you're going to get an edge, I believe, if you'll listen. Because I want to look in a few verses of Scripture real fast, like, and then we'll have a few comments and go home. But I want you to look in John chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. It said, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and he taught. This is the tabernacle feast, the feast of the tabernacle. Notice he said, as he's teaching now, watch. And the Jews marveled, said, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And I look at it this way. They said, how can this man teach us like he's teaching us and never learn? He's never been to our school or the Jewish colleges. He's never been in the place of teaching that where he would know these things. He don't have the letters or the recognition that he's able to say and teach what he's teaching. He marveled at it. They were astonished at, I guess it really they felt embarrassed, but I bet you he knew more than they knew. And they were astonished about it. Now watch, he said. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not of mine, but his that sent me. Now if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He said, it's not my doctrine. If man do God's will, he'll know whether it's the doctrine of God or it's the doctrine of myself. Now, it's interesting because it could be doctors of Jesus Christ, too. In fact, it is. He and God's inseparable. But in this case, for him to understand the doctrine that he was teaching, though it would be his doctrine, yet he put the emphasis that letting them know they didn't understand who he was. They questioned who he was. And he said that he was teaching the doctrine of God. And yet they missed that part of it because they didn't think he could know what he knew at that time. Now, look with me in Galatians with me real fast. Turn over to the book of Galatians. And look, he's in chapter 1. In the book of Galatians, and I want to go down about verse 11 and 12. Now the Apostle Paul, and I read this morning, he said in verse 10, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. Then in verse 11, watch what he says. But I certify you, brethren, he's talking to the church at Galatians. He said, I want you to know that I'm giving you understanding. I want you to know that I'm explaining to you that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, since he said what he said about persuasion, he said, I want you to know what I preach to you is not after man. Watch. For I neither received it of man, neither as I taught it by man, you could say, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the word? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. Would you not say that those Jews in Jesus' day that knew all about the Old Testament and the prophecy and the many prophecies given to the Lord Jesus when he's going to come, why didn't they understand some revelation about Jesus Christ? And yet he tells us here at this time, Paul said, I've received what I've seen by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, look with me, if you will, over in Ephesians chapter 1 for just over a few pages. In Ephesians chapter 1, and if you look with me down about verse 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, and then about 17 and 18. Notice, let's go to 16 first. He says, here Paul says, cease not to give thanks for you. He's talking about his prayer. He ceases not to give thanks for those at Ephesus, making mention you of in my prayers. Or make mention of you in my prayers. Now watch. Why would he make mention of his prayers? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, so we know who that is. I mean, he's not talking about Allah here. He's talking about God in heaven, referred to Jesus Christ as Father, Jehovah, Elohim, all those names is given to, that's who it is, the Father of glory. He said that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, whereat? In the knowledge of him. He said, I'm praying. It's just not that you have some kind of revelation. You've read it and you ought to know it because it's written down. But there's more to it than that. He said, I want you to know that pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. How? That the eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And where's that power at? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. If you look over in chapter 3 and down about 3 verses, and then we'll go to Revelation, then that'd be the last reference. In chapter 3, look with me, verse 3, 4, and 5. Paul is talking now about the mystery that's been hidden. Notice this revelation that's been given, but it seems like though they had the revelation in the sense of documentation of the scriptures where they could read about what was going to happen. They were missing it because they had so much added to what was godly biblical revelation that they had missed many things that God was saying. You see, you can't reveal true revelation by adding to it. And you can't reveal a lot of times revelation that God gives unless you have some other ingredients involved. And we're going to see that, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. Note, Paul said this, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. This revelation, God made known to Paul the mystery that he wrote about. But watch, he said, whereby when ye read, ye might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, we know for a fact that he understood the knowledge and the mystery of Christ because he already said, I didn't receive this from man. I didn't receive this at Galatian for any other. I taught it. I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that meant there's a spiritual relationship going on here. It's not as Christ is coming all of it like in the Old Testament, God came to Moses and different things. Here, Paul has been born into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit now, since the day of Pentecost, lives in him. And his relationship now is no longer that much as God could and did speak to him directly in places at times. He took him to the third heaven. Boy, that's something to see. But on the other hand, what he learned through the revelation that came through Jesus Christ. And it was more so through inspiration by the Holy Spirit of God as he read and wrote the inspiration of God's word. In other words, God inspired him to write what was needed, and the inspiration of that word was needed to understand the revelation that God wanted to give. Because without the inspiration of God's word, we have no revelation. Now, I don't lose you on this track now. I know where I'm going. I've already been there and come back, so I know where I'm going. Amen. Notice in verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye my understanding, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages are not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, what is this mystery? It's not a mystery that God was not going to save Gentiles, because he showed in the Old Testament he was going to save Gentiles. But how in the world? It's not a mystery that he was going to send a Messiah for the Jews. But how in the world could he reconcile saving Jew and Gentile in a period of time that they didn't know about, which we know is the age of grace now? And he tells us in the next verse that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Wow. In other words, Jews in that time of grace, which we know to be today, and Gentile are going to be saved just alike in the body of grace, in time, in the age of grace. And that's the mystery God said he hid from the Holy. Hey, he didn't hide from the Jews that Messiah was going to come, and he didn't hide from the Gentiles and from the Jews that one day God would save Gentiles. But he did hide the mystery of the church. And he said, when it comes there, you won't have separate places to trust and worship me, because Gentiles could not enter into the temple of God. They had a wall there. They were forbidden to go but a certain place in the temple of God. And if they went beyond that wall, they would be killed. The Jews themselves were shut out from the holy place. They could not even go into the holy place, because to do so would be blasphemy unless they went as a priest at a certain time of year. So where God himself's presence was at, the Jews could not go in and the Gentiles did not go in. But when Jesus Christ came, he ripped the veil in two. And he found out that now they can go beyond the veil, and you and I can go into the presence of God as Gentiles. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm going to shout in a minute. I might just do it anyhow where anybody says anything. This thing just eat me up, boys, I'm telling you. And I love that kind of eating. That's all there is to it. He said that the Gentiles should be fellowship heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then quickly, Revelation. Boy, I probably could just preach without the notes at all on those verses. But look in Revelation with me, chapter 1. And then John puts it this way. He says in chapter 1, Revelation, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. I want to speak to you a few minutes tonight on we need more than revelation. We've got to have revelation, but we need more than revelation. Could it be the day that a lot of ignorance, spiritual ignorance in God's word is that people are trying to find that which brings revelation, but they can't see you need more than revelation? You got to have it. Watch with me. Did you know the night to reveal truth is edifying? To really understand, right here tonight, I've got all kinds of problems. I'm taking medicine for arthritis. Believe me, I think I've called Barbara's arthritis. I'm thinking about divorcing her because I believe I called it. But anyhow, and I'm taking pain for that stuff for that. So, but right now, it amazes me. I'm stuttering, but I'm edifying myself. Amen? God's word is edifying me. And that's what truth will do. Truth will edify us. But to reveal error as truth is a disaster. And I believe we'll see that happen today. I think a lot of error has been taught today as truth. And it's leading us in a path away from God. And folks, listen, if you said this by my, it's not that we have a monopoly on God. It isn't that God has given us more ability than anyone else. It's the fact is how you approach his word. Amen. And I believe that. And he helps us grow in degrees, not real fast. I'm glad of that. I think when you learn degree-wise, you can learn something. And not only you learn, you apply it, you learn to apply it, you learn to apply it, and it becomes part of you. And that's how God uses it in his life. In Jesus' day, these so-called intellectualists that we saw in John chapter 7, These intellectual rationals held truth to a reduced code of learning. It was like memorizing something. Now hear me. I believe you need to memorize the scripture. I believe you can memorize anything else as good as the scriptures are. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that you can hide the word of God in your heart through memorization. But don't get hung up with that just because you memorize the Bible. That helps you understand everything you need to know. There's a lot of folks who memorize Bible verses going to hell. Because memorizing Bible verses don't get it. It tells us memorizing verses can help us understand some things, but we got to do more just understand it. We've got to ask God to help us apply it through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm talking about. So here in this life, we're told you learn a code and you have the truth that's taught through that particular code. Notice what they said about Jesus. They said, how does this man know letters having never learned in the school of higher learning? They had reduced everything to a code. memorize this, and you got it. And so they memorized this, and then they memorized this, and they memorized this, and then those people and the Herodians and Sanhedrin court and those leaders of Israel had memorized a lot from the Old Testament, but they had no spiritual idea what was going on. It's all a code of words. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. Remember that and it helps you with the code of math. You don't have to do anything but memorize that and quote it, and it'll help you. 3 × 3 = 9. I mean, just go through the memorization of code, and that's all it is. And you can do that with math, but you can't do that with the scripture. Because you can memorize it unless you take it a step further and say, God, I want to know what I'm memorizing. I want to know, hey, you're talking about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Lord, I want to know how I can believe in him. I mean, Lord, I don't want to get out and say, hey, the Bible said I believe that, and all of a sudden didn't do beyond what I need to do, because I can believe. The Bible warns us the devil believe there's a God and they tremble. So we have to be careful about the word believe if it means no more than just acknowledging that you know something by revelation, but you hadn't taken it a step further. If we know that he is Savior, why don't we receive him? It takes more than revelation. Because someone can come along and say, wait a minute, we found some revelation not like that. We dug up some scripture back a few years ago that was written is different than that. It's a different revelation. And so you begin to compare revelation with revelation with revelation, and you're confused. The only one that can help us not be confused is the Holy Spirit of God. And that's done through illumination and inspiration. Now, this is tremendous in studying the scripture. Their thought about truth was an intellectual truth. Just learn the multiplication table as a code, and you have got it. That may be true with math, but it's not true in God's Spirit. God's Spirit's moving more than just revelation. Oh, yes, he uses revelation, but he uses revelation for a purpose to inspire us through inspiration. So to these religious leaders, there was no mystery, depths in truth. Just believe what you believe and do what they say, and that would be it. There's no foundation in it here, in that belief. There's nothing beneath it or beyond it or anywhere else. It's on the surface. Just believe it and do what we say, and that's all it takes. And that's how they control those people from Moses' day right on down. Moses, in the beginning of Moses' day, it was pretty what it should be, but it won't long before you begin to see changes being made, and Israel was moving away from God, more so to God. Why? Because God had to raise up a country. He had to raise up a nation to be a chastening rod for him, to get them to take notice that things were not going like they should go. And that's the reason they spent as much time in slavery in other countries than in their own homeland at that time. So Jesus was saying that he was not a rabbi that just taught doctrine to memorize and repeat it. Now, I know this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's good to memorize that. But ladies and gentlemen, would you know there's a lot of folks that memorize that and repeat that and say that and don't have an idea of what it's talking about? It becomes code. As if the code itself, I've memorized the code, 2 + 2 = 4, that's all that really matters. And God said, not so. If you look in the scriptures, there's a revelation of that. There's something that's hid, and only the Spirit of God, through his Holy Spirit, through our spirit, in studying, letting God teach us by not becoming wearisome in study, but asking God to help us look at precept, front precept, and let the Bible be what it needs to be, and you find we'll move in a direction of understanding more so than we would if we just try to memorize everything. I thank God for that, because I'll be honest with you, I've memorized scripture through the scripture. I just keep these little cards. I'd go to the hospital and sit with people, and I had these little pockets of cards. You've seen them. And I'd memorize scripture, and that's just so great, and I'd say, thank you, Lord. And 2-3 days later, I'd try to remember. I couldn't remember and say, man, I'd get so frustrated. See, I don't have a mind like most of you have. And I'd go again. I said, well, I can't understand. There's a few verses I did enough time. I know them by heart. And I'd go back again. I'd go through a pack. And I'd say, boy, isn't that great? And next time I'd go somewhere or another, when I leave the hospital, or 2 or 3 days later, going somewhere or another, I'd ride down the road and try to memorize it without looking at it. And next thing I know, I could get about half off. Are you that way? No, you're smarter than I am, I'm sure. What I'm saying, I forget. Well, memorization is something that you just memorize the code and you might forget it. You may not believe it, but I memorized Macbeth years ago, but I sure can't say it now. But when God Almighty inspires our heart and illuminates our heart, brother, it registers. You talking about Jesus Christ? There may be a lot of things I may not know about Jesus Christ that the Bible says about it, but I know who he is. And you can't change that. And that's what that'll do for us in this particular life. So these religious leaders, they were no mystery and depth of what they believed. They just believe and do what they say, and that'd be all right. They had no foundation, as I said before. And so Jesus was saying that he was not a rabbi that just taught doctrine to be memorized. This approach to truth is inadequate. Because if you just memorize it and don't know what it is, you'll forget it. You'll forget it. I challenge you, get you some Bible verses, write them down, and memorize them. And don't say them for about 2 weeks and try to say them without going back and looking at it again. It's bad. We need to memorize. Now, don't get this. We need to understand Scripture and memorize. It's good because we're hiding in our heart. But I'm saying we need to also learn what that Scripture and what Brother Money's doing in Sunday school class. Now, good, we're memorizing Scripture. And we should do that because that's hiding us in our heart. But never get to the place and say, well, I've just done the code and don't know what it means. Did you know, folks? There are some people who can quote the whole book of Romans and don't know one bit what it means in Scripture. There are some people who probably know the book of Psalms and quote a lot of it, but cannot put it together spiritually whatsoever. Why? Because there's more to it than a code to memorize. And of course, again, like I say, somebody said, well, priest said, no, you need to memorize Scripture. It does you good to do that. Because a lot of the scriptures that I may not get now, I've got a lot still remember. Romans 8, 10, Romans 10, 9, 10, John 1, 12, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Ephesians 2, 1 through 8 and 9. Those old verses are still there because I've used them so much. But if you memorize a lot of scripture, you may not use it as much, and therefore it has a tendency. They tell me everything that you learn and memorize is in your brain. You'll never forget it. But I do. They say it's still there. I know it. My forgetfulness, maybe I hadn't forgot it. I just can't bring it up when I try to bring it up. But I've heard that. Everything we learn is still there. Anybody else heard that? I heard that just a few weeks ago. So no matter what you learn, if you learn it, it's still there. The only thing is you can't recollect it and bring it up. So the mind has a great opportunity to do some things. So here the levels are drawn between the liberals and the fundamentalists. Due to different beliefs, divisions take place. Let's say this. Listen to this. We say, listen, God made the heavens and the earth. But some say, no, they don't. It came by evolution. Well, now, wait a minute. It came by, oh, yeah, we believe in God, but God used evolution. God don't say that. Where did they get that from? Somebody gave a revelation that's not biblical. We say to you, Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. He's the only Son of God. And someone says, oh, no, we've got more revelation now since that day that we believe that he was a wonderful man, but I do not know about his deity because of what we've found. Well, listen, if Satan can let us find some things that destroys his deity without someone else telling us, he'll let us find it. We got to have more than that type of revelation that people say we had in this life. So there's a great division here. They have the text, they have the codes, they have the creed, which to them is the truth. But the result is people are dead spiritual without God. They know the code, they know the language, but they're dead spiritual without God. Now, I want to thank God that there is a heartbeat in those, and this is the thing about memorization. When you talk about one track, some people think, well, you'd eliminate. No, not that at all. And I'm going to say this to get into the points quickly. I think, God Almighty, there's a heart beating in the midst of the code, which is more than a code called revelation. And once we see the revelation, we need more revelation. Because then we begin to get the whole picture. Let me give you three quick points. First of all, I want you to notice this. Number one, we need illumination of revelation through inspiration. We need illumination of that revelation through inspiration. We know that God inspired this book, so everything in here. If someone tries to reveal to us something here, then we need illumination by God to our heart as we study and apply, and look at the inspiration. Now, illumination simply means a lighten up, a clarification, explanation, enlightenment to instruct us in a certain way. Inspiration means inspired divine influence upon human beings resulting in the writings of Scripture. So when we see what is written, and it's a revelation, God help us to see that we need illumination by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, some people think they read this book and it be revealed just because they got a mind to reveal it. No. God has told us, without the Holy Spirit of God, this book won't never make sense to man. You can read the genealogy of so-and-so and say the birth of so-and-so. You may say, well, I believe that. But you'll find out you can't connect it together how God's plan and purpose is, because that's a spiritual side. And you need the Holy Spirit. That's the reason God gave us the Holy Spirit. So we could take this book he inspired and study it, hide it in our heart through memorization and other things and revelation. And then God will illuminate that to us in this book beyond the depth that others look at it. Some people think just reading it's all you need. But we need to understand it through illumination of the revelation, and also it comes through inspiration. The Bible is God's inspired book. Say amen to that. This is a living book, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's book to us, and it's inspired. Yes, it is revelation. It has revelation. But illumination through inspiration is needed before revelation can get you or your heart to your heart and soul. You see, it might be that just revelation stops here. So that's where it comes in at, right? Mentally. A person who's off mentally will never be able to read the book, get any revelation. But see what happens, because we understand the Holy Spirit's there to give us an edge, is that once he reveals something to us here, it doesn't stop here. It goes beyond that, beyond the revelation, to get in your heart and soul by inspiration and also by illumination. Of course, the illumination is brought about by inspiration. So we must not only have an inspired book in our hand, we must have it in our hearts. And this is the difference. Some people say they have it, but it's here. And you never find where God saved just because it's head knowledge. He says, with the heart man believeth unto Jesus Christ. It's him. See, so what happens? We learn. If thou shalt confess thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved with the heart. See how he does it? He reverts with the hearts where the salvation comes, even though it enters in at this particular. So that's the reason God has given us this ability to hear. And why, as we listen and we hear the word of God taught, it becomes that subject for us that the Holy Spirit bear witness to our heart about. So here we have this, the difference. They say that if you just believe, everything will be okay. Listen, don't misunderstand that. See, when you get to this place, these statements that are said, it looks like you're belittling that. I'm not doing that, because you've got to believe. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, the question is, they say, if you believe, everything will be okay. But I got a question. Believe what? Oh, you see where I'm coming from? You see what I'm trying to teach you from the depth of my heart? To believe what? Just believing in something's not going to do it if it's not the right thing. And so here, God has given us this tremendous insight that whereas sets us apart, as the Holy Spirit sets us apart, compared to the religious world in this day we're living in now. Believe in what? If you do not have God's divine inner illumination that the Holy Spirit gives us, you do not know what truth means. Because you could say this is truth, and you say, well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And somebody else could come along and say, wait a minute, that may be true, but this truth over here, there might be another way. Where do you get that? Well, I got this from somebody in the past who studied this. Next thing you know, you're comparing someone else who studied something as truth against God who is truth. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit to bear the witness of the difference, then you may say, well, it sounds more logical that way. And by the way, God's the most logical person in the world, but he's always logical towards truth. And everything else is deceiving to you and I in this life. And so, for instance, revelation, and when I say this, hear me, and see if you just get a few of these things, maybe you understand the rest of the settlers. We need sediment in this life. I think about just recently in Revelation, in Romans 5, we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. Remember that in verse 1? We're justified, been justified by faith, we have peace with God. I can't get into that. That's another thing I've been studying on. People don't seem to have the peace. And there have been times I've been in a situation I didn't have peace with God whatsoever. But first of all, he said, have peace with God. And then he says, you can act. See, Lord, I don't want to get on that. Yes, I do. No, don't. Because that could really help. But I've got a lot to get in right here. Let me just say this. We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. We can have the peace of God. And by the way, we have the peace of God. It's given to us. But then why can't we have peace in some circumstances at times? Because the peace with God gives us access to have the peace of God. But God tells us we've got to accept the peace of God. It's just not automatically. And the thing God is saying, if you look at it, He said, "The peace of my, I give you my peace. I don't care what you're in. My peace is there. Have you accepted it yet? Have you successfully took hold of it yet? I don't care where you're at. You have my peace. You just don't have peace when things are going well. You have my peace when things are going bad." That's what He's talking about. The reason is not that God's got to give us His peace. We already have peace with God. So we have His peace as even Jesus Christ had, hanging on the cross. And He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Why did He do that? He understood the peace of God. But when we get into trouble, we're so too taken up with it at times. But I'm just as bad. I've learned these things through experience, folks. That's the reason probably God put me through these things when I like to die in 92 and so forth. That the peace of God is there. But I have to accept it. I have to go in to claim it. And I get that. I can't see. I'm leaving you hanging right now. But let's move on. Revelation alone cannot save us. But Revelation can tell us what to believe. We need illumination by the Holy Spirit of God, or we will never know what certain truths mean about salvation. You can read, how many times you read this book over and over and over and over? And there are things at times you never did get. And then after you study a few years, all of a sudden you went back reading again, and reading the same revelation, and all of a sudden it jumped out at you. Why? God gave you illumination. You say, "Praise God, I never saw that before." Why? Probably if we'd have saw it beforehand, we'd been messed up. But God said, "Now I brought you through revelation, illumination, and I'll go back and let you see what I've already revealed. But you'll understand it now through illumination, because this book is inspired by the one who inspired it, the Holy Spirit of God." And so we need illumination by the Spirit of God, or we'll never know what certain truths means about salvation. So what this is, there is a preparation of the mind, then there's a preparation of the inner life, then there's the preparation of the inner man. And this is the ground upon which we stand in Jesus Christ. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God begins this thing. We have a preparation of our mind now. He says we have access and can have the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean somebody says, "Well, that's blasphemy." We never expect to have the mind of Christ like Christ had in this body, but this is the mind of Christ. As much so as the mind of God. Then He also prepares us in the inner life as we study, and then the inner man. It is possible to hear the truth and not understand it. It's possible to hear the truth and not be able to perceive it. In Isaiah chapter 6, I found over there even the Old Testament. This is what God said in chapter 6. He said in verse 8, when He's talking through Isaiah, and Isaiah saw the Lord highly lifted up. In verse 8, He said, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." And then verse 9, "And He said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not." You can tell Israel to the day they die that Messiah is here. As revelation. But until there is an inner reception of illumination to see Him, who He is, they're under the curse of the old covenant. Now, I get you in trouble saying that, but that's true. Because they are part of the hidden mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile. Paul says that to the church at Ephesus. And so what happens is they have revelation about Messiah coming, but isn't it amazing? God's already given revelation that He's coming, and He gave us revelation that He has come, but they're still looking for Him as a nation. You act like you don't know these things. These are simple things. As a nation. In the age of grace, individual Jews would be saved just like you and I are in this life. When you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, "In my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power." That's what revelation is. Revelation leads to understanding something has been said. And then you see illumination by the Spirit of God that God gave us when we got saved helps us understand through inspiration what Paul said. He said this, but I'm not tossing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you ought to be, and I ought to be, and I find this a lot of times, that when a person is teaching the Word of God to put something together, and the Holy Spirit begins to show us these wonderful truths, we ought to be saying, Lord, thank you for getting me out of the darkness and not seeing things and being able to see things like I've never seen before. And you know what that does? God said, that'll separate you from the world. Because they'll separate from you. You don't have to separate. They'll separate from you because the teaching that God gives us is godly teaching. And they think because we teach this way that we're trying to be some great MAGA some kind. No. We're just saying God has not left us ignorant about what he's doing. Look in verse 5. He said that your faith, why is it he demonstrating the spirit of power? He said that your faith, Christian, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I believe that. I believe everything man finds, this book still will tell us what's right or wrong. How many books they come up that they say is written. I don't care how many manuscripts they find somewhere or another. If it denies this book, they're wrong. That's all there is to it. You say, well, you don't understand how men put these books together. Yeah, I know God used men to put this book together. I know and understand a little bit of how it was done. But God protected his word in this book. These other things are coming. Why do you think those others have been hit all these years? They're coming out now because we're in the last days, and everything Satan can do to destroy this book, he's trying to do it today. So we don't have truth, you see. So we need illumination through inspiration. Number two, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus more than a convenience. Now, Revelation may say, well, Jesus is here, I'm going to believe on him, then give me a ticket to heaven. Jesus is more than just a lifeboat to get to heaven. He's more than a guide to find us when we're lost. He's more than a big brother helping us when we get into trouble. Jesus is Savior, Lord, and Master. Amen. And the Bible declares that. To receive Jesus as Savior is to surrender to his will. His illumination starts in our heart. This person is ready to be obedient. When you have revelation and you believe from the heart and illumination comes in, you begin to grow and see who Jesus is, bearing witness that you're not deceived. And what happened? This person is ready to be obedient. This person is willing to learn and follow Christ by doing his will. And before God's word can mean anything inside of me, there must be an obedience to God's word, because that's what 1 John says. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1. And I want to look at verse 6 and 7. Here's what John said. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Notice John included himself. And then he said, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I won't say that. God spoke for himself there to us. So to disobey Christ, listen to me, to disobey Christ is to not be enlightened by him. Truth will not impart God's life to man who will not obey the light. Truth is there, drawing the Holy Spirit. But when a person rebels and won't receive the light of the gospel, truth will not go any further than just explain to him who he is. Truth won't save him if he rebels against him. Truth can only enlighten us that we need to be saved, and refers us to one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 14 and verse 6. So it's wonderful to see. Truth will not impart God's life to a man who will not come to the light, obey the light. God's truth will not give itself, and I believe this, folks, God's truth will not give itself to a rebel, spiritually. Not at all. He may find things he thinks are revelation, but there'll be no understanding of it whatsoever. To put it together systematically, this book's not written in systematic order. And so he got a lot of revelation in here. I mean, hey, everybody can read Isaiah 53 just as much so as you and I can. It reveals who's coming. And in a sense, there's one coming, but it doesn't, unless the Holy Spirit gets in and lets us show us something, you'll not know who it is. Everybody can read the story in Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Christ. You think of the millions that will read that or hear that story read just the next few weeks, and they'll never trust Christ as their Savior. Why? They see no more than just something that's revealed. And since it's revealed, revelation can be turned off if you don't want to accept it. The Holy Spirit can bring convenience. So that gets a little further. That's conviction. When that happens, you see. So to obey Christ is to have an inner illumination that tells a person that he is a child of God. You see, one can fill his head with Bible knowledge, but it has to go down into the heart before it comes truth to obey. Here we have revelation. When it goes to our heart, we have revelation illuminated through inspiration. And boy, I'm so glad God let me see those terms, that I can get them in the right place to know the end result of that's going to have knowledge. And when you get that, people say, he just thinks he is so smart. No. Be honest with you, those who see that feel like they're dumb compared to those who argue against it. God will not let us be puffed up on that which he shows us. It makes us walk humble. I thank the Lord for the brethren prayed with me tonight and talked about the fact that how humble that we have to be in this life. That's what God does. I mean, if it did not, we'd be proud like some of these other people are who are religious. You know, a religious person can be the most proud person in this life. But with God, it makes us humble. It makes us evaluate ourselves in different ways. So we need more than revelation. We need the illumination of revelation through inspiration. And to base such truth brings inward change. Look in 1 John with me, and you'll see exactly what it does. 1 John chapter 1, we looked in, look at 1, 3, 3 and 7. He says this, John said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. See, you can read that as revelation, but until God shows, in my heart, thank God I understand a little bit about through illumination that he's saying that in God there's light. And therefore, John 3 says, we want the one who's saved, who's believed in Christ, loves to come to the light. But the evil one hates the light. Why? It reveals their deeds. Spiritually, that's what I understand. Now, they look at it as someone trying to hammer over their head something because we believe a certain way. No, it's the Holy Spirit of God who illuminates that those who are saved come to the light. They enjoy seeing their lives manifested. But the person who's evil hates the light and stays from the light. Only the Holy Spirit can show you and I that. Because it won't for the Holy Spirit, we may read it as revelation just like anybody else. He says, talking about somebody else, can't be talking about us. God gives us, thank you, Lord, gives us what we need. This line, John 17:7, verse 17, when Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And let me give you just a few minutes, I'm through. The third thing, know what brings enlightenment to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, I love this, because, and we're scattering about a little bit, and the reason I want to go and read these, I could have tapped them out and otherwise, but Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 18, watch this, verse 16, Paul says, ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's a prayer of knowledge and power. Watch. He's praying, verse 17, watch this, that the God of our Father and Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We read that a few minutes ago. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and that the riches of his glory and his inheritance. We know it exceeding power, verse 19, and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not the body of truth that enlightens us. You notice that? This right here gives us enlightenment of the body of truth. But the words itself alone don't do it. It takes Jesus Christ for that. The enlightenment of the truth is Jesus Christ. It's not the body of truth that enlightens us. It's the spirit of truth that enlightens us. And that's what John says in 1 John chapter 5. You're there with me. Turn and look at it. Let the Bible speak for itself. In chapter 5, verse 6 of 1 John, John said, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and blood. And it is the spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. Now, Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. He's the way that we can get to God. But it's the Spirit of God that bears witness with that truth. You and I can look at Jesus Christ all we want to as a human being, and that's all we'll see unless the Holy Spirit of God opens it up to us, and he won't go beyond our will. He'll reveal it to us only if we want him to. And people want to say, I wish I could see that. Probably there'd be a rebellious will to that if they don't see it. Notice here we are in verse 19, 20. He said, and we know, what is this spirit of truth? What is this spirit, this witness, bear witness because the spirit is true? What does he reveal to us? We know that we are God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 19. We, the Christian, know that we're of God. And he said, when you know that, we're at the light. And the light shows us the whole world is full of wickedness. That makes us want to leave here when God calls us home. Look at verse 20. Now again, we know again. What? We know that the Son of God has come and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even his Son, Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is the true God and eternal life. There are some people, religious, need to read that verse. Because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. They believe somehow or another he's just a son. And that's all there is to it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can repeat, I said before, the book of Romans and be blind inwardly, spiritually. You can quote the whole book of Psalms and be blind inwardly and spiritually. You can know the doctrine of justification and be blind inwardly and spiritually. There's nothing wrong in learning that. Thank God if you can do it, you ought to do it. Because it's a wonderful thing just to quote Scripture. When you're praying, sometimes Scripture quoting, just quoting it, can be an access to you in, at night. When you want to go to sleep, sometimes, just quoting Scripture. There's certain Scriptures I quote a lot. But I'm telling you what I'm saying, that is more to it than just that in life. When I see this, obeying the Lord Jesus Christ will illuminate our spirit, which will enlighten us inwardly. God has been frank with us. I believe that, folks. God has been frank with us in the New Testament. Christianity hinders itself from not living the light of God. John 3:21 tells us that. I'm just talking about going to that light. This is done by professing the truth that one does not obey. You have a lot of folks say they believe possess Jesus Christ, but they don't obey him, don't take it long. We've been on visitation visiting people aren't having, and others in the church used to, when we come at times and go together, been places and you'd see somebody and they'd be, you know, just all kinds of alcohol and everything else and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. There was a time people was embarrassed about things like that. But now they're not embarrassed about it. Or they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. They don't even believe that Jesus Christ is the way of life. How in the world can a person even claim to be a Christian if Jesus Christ is not the way of life? That bothers me. By ignoring the connection between theology and practical side of life, nothing can destroy the church any more than that which is rotten from in the church. God said the gates of hell not prevail against the church, but sometimes the local assemblies many times can be destroyed from the inside. Any revival, please hear this, I close. Any revival that comes to a nation, listen, which leaves people in more love of things than God is not from God. Revival causes us to fall more in love with him. It's obvious that true faith is the true God, in the true God, is diminishing today. If you look at the scriptures and know anything, and this is what horrifies me so much, I don't know a lot, but thank God what I do know, and I'm seeing that what we know as true faith is diminishing these last days in spite of what the mega preachers are saying. It's diminishing. There is a famine in this world today of God's word. That's all this word, Brother Lee. It's just a famine. It don't take long till you see that. They have the essentials, they think. We need more than revelation. We need illumination of revelation through inspiration. You know what happens when that happens? This brings old-fashioned biblical convictions rather than preferences. And what happens there? Here we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 1. When we see and hear revelation and the word of God we hid in our heart by memorization, all of that, when we get beyond just the revelation part, out of the code, and ask for the illumination that's led through inspiration by the Holy Spirit who he gives us, then, ladies and gentlemen, we will understand what Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brother, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he said, by the way, I'd put that in there. That's a reasonable shirt. Just reasonable to do that. Man, it looks like a hard thing, doesn't it? And he said, no, it's a reasonable thing. Then he tells us about being not conformed to this world, be you transformed in your mind. Now, I'll give you this thought. Talk about this Bible. There's about four ways it comes from people studying the Bible. And I hope this can get, I hope the Lord helped me develop this more later. First of all, there's the absolutes of this Bible we must be right on without any changing. And this church knows what I'm talking about. And I won't go there. Other than just fact, we're talking about Jesus Christ, who he is, his blood. All those things are absolute. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So there are some absolute, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I have to stand upon to be who we are as far as the Bible is concerned for our day. On the other hand, then there is, this is the cord of our faith. The absolutes are the cord of our faith. Without it, we are hopeless. But then when I get from the absolute, then you look at religion as a whole, you see that somebody, we may have a number of different groups who believe the absolutes that we have together. I think of my granddad. He died. He belonged to a church that believed in soul sleeping. And I could never understood why, because he was taught that from his church. But that church went soul winning, win people as much so as anybody ever seen. He was a soul winner. And yet the core of his life in the church was that Jesus Christ was the only way of life. You've got to get in there because Jesus said to take the gospel to the world. And yet when they died, they believed to hang around the grave. How can that happen? Is that not a core? I think it is, but they didn't think it was. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't find where the Bible says that believing that person's soul sleep or didn't soul sleep was the equivalent to have to know before you got saved. But I'm glad I see that's not true. Amen? Amen. I'm glad when I get on a plane, fly somewhere or another, I get a ticket. I could stand up the whole way, but I'm glad I can sit down. Amen? I don't have to sit down. They may not let you stand up now anyhow. I don't know. In fact, I'd rather stand up. I believe the way some of those seats are getting so small now, you say you can't hardly sit in them. Brother Money, how about that, doing that when you came along, brother? But what I'm saying, so what we have absolutes, and then we have others that they say is convictions, not preferences. And they'll tell you, you sit down and talk, they'll tell you that they study the Bible and they've got these convictions. We can't deviate on the core, but there might be some convictions along the line that well, we never agree on because of how they're taught. As long as they know the core. But convictions can make the life better. Probably because the convictions are not what they ought to be, is reading some are not really pushing for Christ to be taught to this world. So you got absolutes, you got your conviction, and then you come to another. Convictions are convictions, not preferences. Some people say they believe something, but it's a preference rather than a conviction. You got to know the difference. So here we're talking about a conviction. That's the effect that it has on us of what we know about the Bible. But then we have another section's opinion. Now, conviction is not opinions. Opinions means there's something that's just not clear. Now, I don't mind debating people that. It's a preacher, I just don't understand this, it's not clear. Here's the way I've been taught, that's fine. Or let's use the Bible as a criteria. Because we got to be sure, first of all, you're right on the core. Because I'm not going to discuss the Bible about anybody unless they're right on the core. Because they're not right on the core, they'll never understand anything we say anyhow. You got to have the Holy Spirit of God. See, if the cord's right, you got the Holy Spirit of God. Division in this life we have today is because the cord's not right. The greatest division we have in this world is because the cord is not right that centers around Jesus Christ. But then we have, like I say, conviction. And then others have opinions. In other words, it's just really not clear. And by the way, anybody study this Bible, there are some things you just haven't got together yet. There are some things I come to a point and I say, Lord, I really can't see this, but I know there's no error in it. And Lord, I don't understand exactly that one verse or so verse, but I understand there's many verses that back up what I believe. So I'm going to just have to wait till I get to heaven so I understand that. But I'm not going to change my mind on something I can understand, on something I can't understand, and think that what I can't understand leads me to what to believe. Can't do that, folks. And then the last one is just question. So we move from the absolute, we move to the can't conviction, we move to those opinions, and then we move to questionable. That is, they're unsettled, unsecure, just don't know a lot about it. And I'll tell you, that's where you have to go back and study. May I give you one example? I know you don't want to hear it, but I want to give it to you anyhow. You go over to the book of Genesis. You remember when we were studying back in Genesis chapter 6, and he talked about the sons of God coming down? Let me read it for you. To this earth? Genesis chapter 6. You remember that? In verse 2, it said in verse 1, it came to pass, and men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You can debate that till you die and you're not getting everybody to see what's going on there. I have my opinion about that. That's all I can do. So my opinion. And I have biblical to back my opinion. But there's no clear understanding exactly what went on here. We know it caused giants in the land, but he calls them sons of God. Now, sons are generally born into a family. You see how my mind goes, folks? Glory to God. I mean, I sit down and just... Sons are generally born into the family of God. At this time, we know of no one who has been in heaven other than the angels that are there. And we know some fell and had a place to go. And we know some didn't fall. So there's an antediluvian civilization here at this time. But when you go back and you think about sons of men, you start with Luke and Mary's genealogy, and you go all the way back to Adam. It says the son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And then you get to Adam. All the others have been born by procreation. But you get to Adam, and it says, Adam, the son of God. He wasn't born by procreation. He was made by the hand of God. Father, thank you, Lord. God, I hope nobody's confused tonight. If there is, please help them study. And may they fall in these different areas of study, opinion, question. But may they be sure, whether they be there or not, that they've got the cord right. Lord, you're beyond us. There's so much we want to know and so little we know. Please help us not make a mess of it. But help the Word of God hit in our heart. Help us understand what we need to understand in these days, Lord. Could it be that there have been those who have been close to you that if they had studied or had teachings in the depth of God's Word to see there's more to it than just a mental access to you, they may have went further. Lord, a mental access we can find. If I have just a mental access, as much as it comes to us in a few weeks' time, trying to capture our mind, if I believe one thing today, could believe something else tomorrow if it's just left up to me. Because I cannot trace anything down to its fullness. But Lord, I thank you for this book. I can stay in it, and you help me trace it down for my benefit. It's not to show the world what I know. It's to show me what I need to know so I won't go like the world goes. And yet realize how much we need your grace. Protect this pulpit, Lord, and let it be taught the Word of God beyond just revelation. That's important. It starts with that. But Lord God has preserved His book to give us revelation. But He's given us His Holy Spirit to give us illumination through inspiration. Give us a good week this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.